In this week's Environmental Almanac, Rob Cantor tells us about a young researcher who combined curiosity with old-school science to produce a new understanding of parasite development.
Daphnia is the name of a genus of tiny aquatic crustaceans that are also known by some as water fleas. Like larger crustaceans you may be familiar with, such as shrimp, they have segmented legs and their bodies are protected by a rigid exoskeleton. But even the largest species of Daphnia grow no more than 5 millimeters long, so could easily rest atop a pencil eraser. Since the late 1800s, Daphnia have also been useful in studies conducted by parasitologists, scientists who study parasites, their hosts, and interactions among them. I learned this from Tara Stewart Merrill, a Ph.D. candidate at the University of Illinois, who is interested in Daphnia because studying them enables her to better understand the processes that influence disease transmission, including why diseases invade some populations and not others, and why resulting disease epidemics vary in their size or duration. But that's not what this commentary is about. This commentary is about an interesting discovery Stewart Merrill made along the way, and here's where we get back to Daphnia and fungal infections. In her study of the scientific literature on disease transmission among Daphnia, she observed a tendency among disease ecologists to discount the idea that simple organisms, such as Daphnia, mount complex defenses against infection the way more complex organisms do. It's worth noting that the conventional wisdom about Daphnia not recovering from fungal infection traces all the way back to observations made in the 1880s by Eli Metchnikoff, a Russian scientist whose work on immunity earned him joint credit and a Nobel Prize. Wondering whether, after the passage of 130-some-odd years, a new set of observations, conducted according to the scientific standards of our time, might produce a more accurate picture of what happens when Daphnia dentifera meets the fungus Metchnikovia bicuspidata, Stewart Merrill decided to take on the task herself. After all, she remembers thinking, if someone could do this with a microscope in 1884, I can do better today. For her study, Stewart Merrill isolated about 500 Daphnia in individual tubes containing a solution loaded with fungal spores, which the Daphnia, being filter feeders, ingested. Then, over a period of 10 days, she pulled out samples to examine under a microscope what was going on inside them. What she saw was an elegant and complete life cycle unfolding in front of her eyes, one that scientists had not previously paid attention to. In addition, she witnessed a life-and-death battle between host and parasite, where the host was clearly fighting back, and that sometimes it was able to clear itself entirely of infection. That may not mean much to you and me directly, but it does have important implications for disease ecologists, whether they study Daphnia, mosquitoes, or snails. And the work of disease ecologists is key to enabling people to predict and manage the spread of diseases, including some that are very close to home for us, such as West Nile virus and Lyme disease. It also underscores the importance for scientists of doing clean and careful work and going back from time to time to verify results and assumptions.
To find out more about Environmental Almanac, to listen to it again, or to see lots of photos, follow the links on our website at will.illinois.edu. And you can read Environmental Almanac on Sundays in the News Gazette. The Environmental Almanac is a service of the University of Illinois School of Earth, Society, and Environment, where Rob Cantor teaches courses in environmental writing and issues.